I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Killer Crate.
Yep.
Oh, no. Do we just end it here?
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, God.
Next week, join us for...
Next week, we'll try again.
Yeah.
No, welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast. We're just going to plow through. We're going to do this. We can do it. Yeah. We're both very tired today.
So tired. Oh, and my heater's on.
Yeah, sure. I thought it was just the whirring of your PC, if I'm being honest.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's been a hard 30 years, but we're here. We're ready. We're tired. We're going to do this.
Yes. Yes. We're here this week to talk about Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
But first. Something else important.
Yeah. Not horror news, but kind of just touching on real life news for a moment. We're going to take a pause. Obviously, we know, like, this isn't a political podcast. It's not something that, like, we talk about daily. We do... I think we've dropped our beliefs here and there, but we do understand that a lot of people want a space to unwind and have fun and kind of take a break from politics and all the crazy stuff that's going on. We both understand that joy and art are important to our mental well-beings. They're integral to us all being able to move forward, and so we do want to preserve that. However, with everything going on, it does feel like everything is escalating pretty much every second of every day that Donald Trump is in office. And it's very scary what's going on with ICE right now. And so we just kind of want to be very clear on our stance, which is fuck Trump, fuck ICE. It's horrific what's going on right now, what's been going on. And we know we don't have a huge platform here, but we still want to use what little we do have to kind of speak out. So just a small moment to say that's where we stand on this. We're going to put some links in our description to link to, like, resources. If there's any way that you can help, we really encourage you to do so. We both, you know, do what we can to support this, I guess, fight against ICE. It's kind of just that's where we're at right now. So, yeah, not easy to talk about, not fun to talk about, but important. So we just wanted to take a moment to say that. We'll link some stuff, some resources. Know your rights. Help your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Protect your neighbors.
Yeah.
As best you can.
Yeah. If you have the ability and the privilege to do so, please. Now's the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heavy stuff.
Yeah. Hard to transition out of, but we just wanted to say that. Get that out there. And now we will focus on the fun stuff, which is horror movies and undead pets.
Yeah. And Lord Farquaad getting his Achilles tendon sliced.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, do you want to kick us off? You're going to give us a little overview of the original, right?
Yeah, I will do that. The original Pet Cemetery, adapted from Stephen King's novel of the same name, it came out in 1989 and stars Dale Midkiff, Fred Gwynne, and Denise Crosby. In it, Dr. Lewis Creed moves his family to Maine, where he meets a friendly local named Judd Crandall. After the Creeds' cat is accidentally killed, Crandall advises Lewis to bury it in the ground near the old Pet Cemetery. The cat returns to life, its personality changed for the worse. When Lewis's son, Gage, then dies tragically, Lewis decides to bury the boy's body in the same ground, despite the warnings of Crandall and Lewis's visions of a deceased patient. This one was directed by Mary Lambert and had an $11.5 million budget and made $57.5 million at the global box office. It holds a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and a 58% critics and 60% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
very similar score on Rotten Tomatoes. We don't see that very often. It's usually a pretty good split, but 2%.
Yeah.
They agree. It might be the lowest split that we've encountered.
Ooh, I feel like there was one that was like 1 point off. I think it was The Fly, the remake of The Fly. I want to say it was like 97 and 98 or something. Like everybody just knows everybody that it's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would be interested, yeah, to see what movie we've reviewed that has the most consistent scores just across the board.
Yeah. Might be that one.
Might be.
But that's not the one we're here to talk about today. If you want to see that one, go back to episode.
Exactly.
That episode, whatever number that it is.
Episode. Go up to the search bar and type in The Fly.
The Fly.
And you will see that it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to try to find it. We even reviewed
the original one.
I couldn't. 79. Episode 79.
Wow. It doesn't feel like that long ago.
It was, yeah. That was
a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Season 3.
Sure.
The fourth episode of season 3.
Yeah, damn. And now we're on season
7.
7.
You divide it by 25.
Got it. Yeah. For sure. For
and
sure,
we're
for
at
sure.
155 now. I think this is episode 155.
It is.
And there you go.
Look at us go. Should I just start with my favorite fun fact?
Sure.
I don't know if it's actually, but I do think it's kind of funny. And that's that Mary Lambert tried to get Blaise Burdahl, who plays Ellie, the young girl, to cry for a scene. And she was trying to get her to cry by telling her to think back on something in her life that was very, very sad. And she's just like, I don't have anything. Like, I'm a child. Nothing bad has ever happened to me. And so Lambert ended up offering her money to cry.
Wow. Yep.
Which, very me, honestly.
Yeah.
I love
we'll
that.
Cry for money.
Get your bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always said I'd be willing to cry for money.
Yeah. I do it for free. So if someone has money to give me for crying, I'm about to go up a tax bracket. That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Well, the idea for this came from a lot of personal experiences that Stephen King experienced. One, his daughter's cat, Smucky, was killed on the highway outside their home. Yeah.
Not
and
Smucky.
Smucky's name is on the cemetery in the film, the original film.
Nice.
And then much of Ellie Creed's little outburst that she has with the loss is taken from Stephen King's own daughter with the loss of their cat. Also, Judd Crandall was based on an elderly neighbor of the Kings, and there was an actual pet cemetery in the woods behind their house.
Wow.
Yeah, so lots of real life woven into this story.
Yeah, didn't one of his youngest son almost like run into the street too, like Gage?
Oh, geez.
Obviously didn't die, but... Yeah. Not Joe. Owen. Owen's the younger.
Oh, yeah. Owen.
Yeah. I think they are both authors, though. I've read some of Joe Hill's books.
Yeah. Horns is on my list.
I like Horns.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Wasn't it made into a show or a movie or something and Daniel Radcliffe's in it?
Yep. Movie.
Was that good?
I think, like... No, but I liked it, if that makes sense, you know, where I'm like, oh, I liked the book, so I liked the movie, but like, from an overview standpoint, was it truly a fantastic film? I don't think so.
Okay.
But it's also been years since I've seen it, so maybe my opinion would change.
Yeah, maybe you hate it now.
Yeah.
It's the worst movie you've ever seen.
Oh my God.
The rose-colored glasses are off.
Removed.
Anyway, enough about that film.
This is also the first novel that Stephen King has done the screenplay for. He adapted it.
Oh.
And He also said it's the only novel he's ever written that actually scared him. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Maybe because it was so rooted in real life.
Maybe, yeah. That he was thinking about those moments when he was writing it. Yeah. He also almost shelved it. And then his wife convinced him to publish it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice of her. So,
yeah,
for the rest of us.
Tabitha King to thank.
Thanks, Tabs.
Mm-hmm.
He was really involved in the making of this one. Stark contrast to the Stanley Kubrick of The Shining. He was present on location for most of the shooting. It was woven into his contract that the film must be filmed in Maine, which is where he lived at the time, 20 minutes away from where they shot. And it was even filmed on location in the same rural Maine area that he set the film in. I'm sorry, the book in.
Yeah. I'm wondering almost if he started building that into his contract because of The Shining.
I'm sure. He probably has PTSD from...
From what? I'm so sorry. After reading The Shining, I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about. I don't understand why people think it's that different. I don't think it's that different. Am I crazy?
For one, the animals don't come to life. That's a big part of it.
The hedge maze animals. But I think that was a good choice. I think that would have looked really stupid if they tried to make that a thing. Especially in the 80s. That would have looked terrible. It would have been so cheesy.
Are we due for a Shining remake?
No. But...
I think we should. We've got good CGI now. Well, if we use early 2000s CGI, it'll be good.
Yeah, I think that's going to... That'd be a tricky thing to do. There is a TV movie that I've heard is closer to the book, but I really just don't...
No, it is.
I don't know. I read the book and I was like... I don't really think it was like that crazy of a difference.
It's a series, I think. And that one was actually filmed at the Stanley.
Yeah.
I know this because I went on a tour without you.
I know. It's the worst thing you've ever done to me.
Sorry.
No. That was getting married. But.
Yeah.
Going to the Stanley without me is a close second.
Yeah. It's not my fault.
I should clarify. It wasn't getting married.
You did it.
It was getting married to someone who's not me. That was the issue. And I know you didn't know me, but I feel like you should have known in your heart that I was out there, you know?
It's crazy. Yeah, I feel guilt about that every single day.
Yeah, and you should. And I'm glad you do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I won't alleviate that guilt for you, so.
Between you and the kid in that one mermaid Disney Channel original movie when he's in his mermaid form.
The 13th year?
Yeah. I love that movie.
You're saying your choices in marriage should have been between me and that kid?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that...
So you know what's actually funny about that is that I used to use him as an example.
Careful.
It's not going where you think it's going.
Okay.
I used to use him as an example of what my voice sounds like in my head. You know how your voice sounds different to you?
Yeah.
I used to be like, mine sounds like the kid in the 13th year.
Interesting.
So I think subconsciously you knew.
Subconscious, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, specifically in his mermaid form, like with the scales and stuff.
Yeah. That checks out.
Yeah. And like I was a child at the time that I wanted this to happen.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Just to be clear.
Thank you for clarifying. There wasn't as much cat info in the original as there was in the sequel. I'm going to be clear, for the remake, I'm talking almost exclusively about the cats, but not as much information for this one. However, there were two differing facts. I saw one that said 7 cats were used, one that said 9 cats were used. I'm going to go with 9 cats because I want, the more the merrier, you know?
Nine cats, nine lives.
Exactly. Ooh.
What?
They killed the cats. No.
Just kidding. They did?
No,
they did.
I'm kidding. No animals were harmed in the
That's
making of
this
movie.
That's 81 lives.
That would... I'm pretty sure, right? They said that at the end of the movie. You can say that if you actually didn't hurt animals. That's like a true fact. You can look up snow buddies if you don't believe me. Disney killed some dogs.
Don't look up snow buddies.
Don't look up snow buddies. Disney killed puppies. Not even full grown dogs.
Oof.
Anyways, watch us get fucking sued by Disney. No, I can't get sued because it's true. That happened.
It's not defamation.
It's not defamation because it did happen.
Yeah.
Anyways, they had 9 different cats they used for church. Cats are apparently like a little bit difficult to train, probably especially back then. I feel like now we've kind of advanced. We have better ways of training them. But I'm sure in the 80s it was kind of like... Cats gotta do what they want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they had it. Each cat kind of had their own little role that they were good at. So they had one that was really good at jumping or snarling on cue, or one that was more cuddly, and they used them for the different little things that they needed for them. And according to Lambert, one of the hardest things to get the cats to do was to eat the pork chop. Which seems like that would be so easy, but they weren't having it.
Yeah. You'd certainly think.
Yeah.
My cat's a picky eater. He won't even eat dry food or wet food or churros. He barely eats. And somehow he's fucking fat.
Oh, well.
My favorite fact about the cats is that the cats have a retina that reflects light.
Yeah.
So the glowing eyes was just an in-camera effect. It wasn't anything in post. It was just them putting a light above the camera lens so that whenever they needed the cat's eyes to glow, they turned that light on.
Mm-hmm.
And it made them glow.
Yep. Very cute. Mm-hmm. Practical cat effects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love to. The IMDb. Whoever's putting in the IMDb facts, you guys, you got to tighten up the shit. Because some of the facts, quote, unquote facts, were so fucking stupid. They're like, oh, you know that scene where the cat is dead? That was a fake cat. Babe, we know. Like, what are you doing? That's not a fun fact.
Yeah. You know that scene where the guy was decapitated? Yeah, that wasn't his real head.
That wasn't his real head. You know when the cat's eating a dead bird? That wasn't a real bird. Yeah, we know.
We know.
Oh, we're aware.
The rat that fell from the ceiling, the dead rat, not a real rat. Thank you?
Can you imagine someone's job is just chucking real rats down?
I mean, maybe, to be fair, maybe the entire Stephen King community has PTSD from the things that they've done in other of his films. And it's just necessary to...
Did they kill animals in any of his movies?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
They've done some
animals have traumatizing died for shit. Real in movies.
Yeah, maybe we usually are traumatized. Talk about it,
but that's true. You don't see those types of fun facts in Friday the 13th because they did kill the snake. So
they were killing stuff.
Yeah, Cannibal Holocaust. They killed those animals.
Yikes.
Yeah. Remember when you wanted to do that movie? You were like, put it on the schedule.
I was joking because I know that movie's terrible.
Well.
I just forgot it was found footage.
You haven't seen it. You don't know how you... Maybe you'd watch it and love it.
Do people do that? Do people love that movie?
Yeah, it has a huge cult following. Because it is like one of... It's not like the first found footage, but it's very early in that. And I think, like, the whole controversy, like, they had to go to court and everything to prove that the actors were actually alive. So I think, like, the making of it is kind of the appeal of, like, it draws a lot of fans to it because it's an interesting story of how it was made and what happened afterwards. But I don't think there's a horror movie out there that doesn't have some sort of following. Anyways, back to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Stephen King's big fan of the Ramones.
Oh, yeah.
So their songs are credited in this. The truck driver who kills the child is listening to Sheena is a Punk Rocker by the Ramones. And Lambert, this is only her second feature film, and previously she had mainly done music videos, and so she knew the Ramones because she'd done videos and stuff like that. She works in the industry. And so she approached them about recording a song for the film. And so they wrote and performed Pet Sematary, which is played during the end credits.
Yeah. The only two songs in the credits are both by the Ramones.
Yeah.
So fun.
So much fun. You love music.
I do. Yeah. Mary Lambert, known for Material Girl and Like a Prayer, the music videos.
Yeah. Big Madonna. Pricey. Big Madonna music video girl.
Which, like, those were, like, the music videos.
Yeah.
Literally.
Pretty much. I can't think of another one.
Yeah. I've never even seen another one.
You guys let us know in the comments if there's any other music videos besides Madonna's.
Did you ever, when you were, like, probably in middle school, watch the TV station that was just music videos back to back?
Yeah. MTV, when it was actually MTV.
Was that on MTV?
MTV did music videos and VH1 did.
I think it was VH1 that I was watching.
Yeah, VH1 would do the like top 100 music videos of the 90s or top 100 songs of the 2000s. Oh, I ate that shit up.
Fun.
Yeah.
I just remember one music video. All it was, and I remember liking the song, all it was a black background and a woman's face and a snake going like in her mouth, outer eye, in her nose, outer ear, in her mouth, outer eye. And that's all it was the entire song? Music video. I don't know. And I've even put it on Reddit, tip of my tongue, and nobody has been able to tell me.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you know, please tell me in the comments below. I think about that music video probably once a week.
Oh.
You're like, yeah. Wow, I really wish I knew what song that was.
I just remember there was one summer where it was just like a cycle of the same four music videos over and over and over again. And it was like Helena by MCR.
Mm-hmm.
Hoobastank's The Reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and two others, but loved it. Lived for it.
Yeah.
And actually relevant to this movie, because in Hoobastank's The Reason, someone gets hit by a car in that music video. So
Jesus.
I think. Right? Don't they like rob a bank or something and someone gets hit by a car? Who's to say? Anyways, in this movie, a child gets hit by a car.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was crazy. Saw it coming, but still crazy.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough for
If I had a dollar, if I had $1 million for every time we watched a Stephen King movie in which a child is killed and then the father falls to his knees and screams immediately after, we would have $2 million and we would be able to quit our jobs. Wishful thinking.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. The other one is The Mist, by the way, for those who spoilers. Aren't following along. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Great films. Yeah. Although, that's not really his fault. He didn't have anything to do with the ending of The Mist, so.
He liked it.
Yeah. Because he's a freak.
I wasn't blaming him. I was just saying.
Yeah, for sure.
A coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Did we even talk about all the Shining callbacks?
No, please.
How did we start talking about The Shining? Oh, Stanley Kubrick. Why did we start talking about Stanley Kubrick?
We didn't. We literally, you saying his name right back is the first time we've talked about him in this episode.
No, it's not.
Yes, we were talking about The Shining specifically because we said, well, maybe you did say it's Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
I did.
We were talking about it because he had so much control over this movie, and we thought maybe that had to do with Shining.
Yes, okay. And the reason that I said that was to weave in the fact that there were some callbacks to The Shining in this film.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, one, they call him Doc. Even I caught that one. I was like, man, this guy's never thought of a unique nickname in his life. Everybody's nickname is Doc.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of, I don't know if King has confirmed this or not, but some people speculate that the Creed family has the shining, has the ability to shine. Fun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about The Shining when we talk about the new film too, but yeah.
Yeah. There's also a little nod to two other Stephen King novels.
Oh?
Yeah. Well, one's in the book for Pet Sematary, not in the movie. But in the book, Rachel passes a sign for Salem's Lot, which is another Stephen King book. Hmm. And then in the movie, when Pascal is being carried to the clinic after being hit by the truck, there's a rabies poster with a picture of Cujo on it. Another Stephen King story.
Wow.
Yeah. And Stephen King has a cameo. He's the minister at the funeral. Yeah.
I recognized him immediately.
Yeah. He's a very recognizable guy.
Yeah, that one time I saw somebody that looked like him in San Diego, I was like, there can't possibly be two people that look like Stephen King.
That's why I'm like, but I think you just saw Joe Hill.
Do you think? Does Joe Hill look like Stephen King?
Yes, and it's the funniest thing because he chose his name Joe Hill. His middle name is Hill something, but he chose it because he's like, well, I don't want to like use my dad's name, right?
Yeah.
But then he puts his picture in the book and like it's him. It's Stephen. Like, they look so similar.
No, the man I saw was too old to be. Yeah.
Yeah. But Joe Hill, it looks younger, obviously.
Yeah. But they do look very much alike, though. They
look so similar.
Yeah. I just think it was him. He was at a little Irish pub in San Diego in March of 2023. You were there.
I wasn't with you.
But you were in San Diego.
Yeah, that's so true.
2023.
I don't know. I think my brain is blocking out our last employer as a trauma response.
Yeah. Yeah.
2024.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen King, if you're listening, please confirm that you were in San Diego and you went to an Irish pub in March of 2024.
Yeah. Stephen King, we know you're listening because we can see the map of all the downloads and there's one in Maine and we know it's you.
Mm-hmm. It has to be.
It has to be Stephen King. We know it.
I guess when they were location scouting for this film, they had not found the perfect house with a tree out front to be able to do the scene with the tire swing at the very beginning. Mary Lambert and Stephen King saw a tree elsewhere that they fell in love with. They were like, oh my God, this is the perfect tree. So they literally dug it up and had it replanted in front of a house that they liked.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, commitment. Commit to the bit.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were female directors in the 80s.
She's the first one?
Yeah. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't gotten that far in equality yet.
Yeah. Women got the right to have a credit card and they said, I know what I'm doing. And they directed movies right after that. So
yeah. Was that in the 80s? We couldn't have credit cards until the 80s?
No, I think it was the 70s.
Still?
I think.
That's pretty recent.
Yeah. Like when my mom was born, she couldn't. I mean, she was a baby, but she couldn't have a credit card.
Wow. Her mom couldn't have a credit card is a better way to have said that.
Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, why are grandmothers so unhappy in their marriages? Because they can't leave. That's the whole thing. Like, they had no financial independence.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't self-sufficient at all.
Couldn't be.
Crazy.
Legally.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. What a time to not be alive, because I wasn't.
Thank God.
Seriously.
I love my credit card.
What would I be without my credit card? Literally nothing. I wouldn't do stuff. I wouldn't be the queen of doing stuff. That's for fucking sure.
No, you love doing stuff. I hate doing stuff. I'd actually probably be fine.
Doing stuff.
except for I hate men, so I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
That's... I'd be living with my mom.
There you go.
She wouldn't have a credit card either, so we'd be fucked.
Great.
Yeah.
Not even if you're older, you can't have a credit card?
Well, now, yes, but back then, no.
Oh, got it.
Nope. One thing that this movie and the remake have in common is that they both had multiple ideas for how it was going to end. Mm. Early screenings for this one basically confirmed that they needed a punchier ending. It was a little too sad and emotional, but they shot two endings. One is the final version that we see, and then one is where Rachel, undead, returns home and Lewis is playing cards on the floor and she places her bloody hand on his shoulder and he looks up and screams, and then it just cuts to black. And then I guess in the script there was another one, it wasn't shot, but in that one, same thing. She comes home, he's playing cards, the phone rings, she answers, and it's Ellie asking if they're okay. And Rachel responds that they're fine and they're going to be a happy family. And then she smiles with rotted teeth.
Cute.
Yeah.
Speaking of the ending of the new one, I don't remember anything. I watched this yesterday. I am reasonably confident nothing happened after the wife stabs Lewis. That was the end of the film.
No. Did you just turn it off? Because it does fade to black after that, but then more happens.
No, I'm pretty sure I saw the credits.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's not how it ends.
Well, yeah, I know that now because I had to reread the summary on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. If it helps, I watched it today.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately after, when I was compiling fun facts for the episode, I was when the fuck do they talk about Wendigos?
It was so, so brief.
Yeah, but even researches it, and I just didn't. I think I blacked out half of that movie.
Yeah. He pulls out the book. Lord Farquaad pulls out the book, and it has a really cool drawing of a Wendigo.
Don't remember. In and out. That one went right through.
I guess so.
Yeah. Should we talk about it, or do you have any other fun facts for the old one?
Oh, no. I have more fun facts about the old one. The 1989 version.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to say them?
Yeah, let's do that before we get into the remake.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. They almost got an X rating. They had to cut several seconds of gruesome footage from when Gage is biting the neck of Judd.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Yeah.
So there's that. Did we say that already? You didn't say that already.
Nope.
No. Okay, we just talked about the ending. Why is that file under ending facts? It has nothing to do with the ending. You can cut all this out.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, God. What?
I was just going to say, didn't they use a puppet for that too? They had a Gage puppet.
Yeah, anytime Gage was on screen with blood on him, it was a puppet. Because they didn't want to traumatize the young actor who was only 36 months old, almost 3.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, that fun fact pissed me right the fuck off.
Yeah.
Once you're over max a year and a half, enough with the months.
Yeah.
Two years.
Because so much happens between zero. I was on your team until I had a kid.
You're up one and a half.
Yeah. But so much is happening between 1.5 and 2, on a monthly basis. I think it's important to still. But after 2. Yeah, he was almost 3 in filming this.
Yeah, it was he was between 31 and 35 months during filming. I'm go fuck yourself. That's a 3-year-old.
Yeah, almost a 3-year-old.
We're not doing that anymore. We're done.
Almost 3. And then in the scene where Pascal first visits Lewis while he's sleeping, while Lewis is asleep, the actor who plays Lewis was only wearing like short shorts essentially, and they had to refilm it because the filmmakers thought that it was just too sexy for such an eerie scene, which is a crazy thing to say when there's like a man with half a face.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, that's way too sexy.
Yeah.
Get that guy a shirt. I can't say that's what I was thinking. Maybe because he wasn't, you know, they fixed it, but I still don't think that's what I would have been thinking in that moment.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Not to give anything away, but these movies don't really ooze sex, if you know what I mean.
They really don't.
Nope.
Well.
Wait, I have one more.
Okay. You were the one who made me do all those back to back, so.
I know. I just like hearing your voice.
Oh, God. Okay.
Sorry. One last one. The role of Zelda, which is Rachel's terminally ill sister, was played by a man. And I read that fact and I thought, yep, that checks out. Because she's supposed to be 13. And that was absolutely a grown adult. Anyways, yeah. Mary Lambert wanted Zelda and her scenes to be more scary than they were, you know, like cute or like a little 13-year-old girl actually would be. So she cast Andrew Hubacek in the role. And yeah, she wanted something to be like a little off.
That's why I thought you were bringing up Hoobastank.
Because his last name sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But turns out, no.
Sorry.
That's okay. And yeah, I think that the only thing scarier than a 13-year-old girl is a man.
Mm-hmm.
So they did it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well.
Speaking of scary little girls, it's time to talk about the remake.
Yep.
That was pretty good, huh? Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. I'll give this a little. Okay. I'll give us a little overview. Summary, it's the exact same plot, except the daughter dies instead of the son, and they commit to the Wendigo idea a little bit, which we didn't really touch on. But it was in the book, apparently, and they were going to work it into the original script, but then they backtracked. They, like, allude to it. It's not really clearly stated. In this one, they're like, yeah, it's a Wendigo.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending's a little different, but we'll get into that once I tell Katie how it ended, because she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
This one was directed by Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer. The screenplay is by Jeff Bueller. The story is by Matt Greenberg. I don't know how that works because I thought story was like the general idea, and I don't know how someone other than Stephen King can get credit for that. But whatever. He's credited, so who's to say? I think Matt Greenberg was like, should we remake this movie? And they were like, yep, credit.
Honestly.
Yeah. Obviously, it's still based on Pet Sematary by Stephen King. It stars Jason Clarke, Amy Simetz, and John Lithgow. It had a budget of $21 million and made $113 million at the box office. It currently has a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, a 2.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 57% critic score, and a 33% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh. They don't like it as much.
Yeah, critics liking it more than audiences is interesting to me.
Maybe for the risks that it took, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe for the changes.
Yeah.
Because I will say, again, we mentioned this last episode, but I saw this movie in theaters and I was unbelievably intoxicated. But I do remember when Ellie got killed instead of Gage, I was like, oh, oh. And my friend was like, what? Because he'd never seen the original. And I was like, that's not what happened. So
crazy.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it works out when you want to. You feel like at the end of the day, which kid dies doesn't really matter too much to the plot. So I think that that's a change that I'm willing to accept.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely caught me off guard. So.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that it was because they thought that a 9 or 10 year old girl is a little bit more menacing than a 3-year-old boy.
Yeah, I know in one interview they were like, she's old enough to understand like what's happening to her,
mm-hmm.
and vocalize that more than a little kid would. So
yeah,
that kind of adds to the creepy factor.
the menacingness.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of references to Stephen King's prior novels in this one. So many.
Mm-hmm.
I caught a few of them. I still haven't seen Cujo, but I did catch the, there was a St. Bernard killed four people. And I think something about rabies.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reference, obviously, to Cujo. When Rachel is coming home from Boston, you see a highway sign that talks about Derry. Derry is obviously the epicenter of the It series.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of Stephen King. Of course, there's lots of Stephen King references. I'm a stupid fucking idiot. The Shining references.
Yeah.
I'm so tired. And also lots of Shining references in this one too, very similar to the original. They think, you know, people have speculated that they have the Shining in the family. The bathroom door, breaking into the bathroom, Ellie's trying to break into the bathroom to kill Rachel, very much as Jack does with the hatchet in the Shining. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Apparently, the only reason that they decided, that Paramount decided to push forward with a remake, was because they received a termination notice from Stephen King for their rights to the book. So,
can you just do that?
Yeah. That's how you can, like, extend rights to something, is if you, that's why you, like, clockwork, you get Marvel movies, because they'll lose the rights, so then they'll make more movies. That's why they kept making Spider-Man movies, so that the rights didn't run out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cute.
Mm-hmm.
One cute other Easter egg, and this is not a real Easter egg, it's just funny in hindsight. Or is it an Easter egg?
You let me know what it is, and I'll tell you if it's an Easter egg.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I noticed it. Yeah, it would be. Maybe it was. Well, either way, I noticed it. John Lithgow plays Winston Churchill in The Crown, and I knew this about him because I'm obsessed with him because he plays Lord Farquaad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so when Ellie explains that the cat is named after Winston Churchill and who Winston Churchill is, Judd says, I know who Winston Churchill is. Funny. That was funny because he plays Winston Churchill. That was funny.
Yes.
Was that intentional?
I would think so.
Yeah, because The Crown came out in 2016.
That it felt like a little wink, wink, nod, nod.
Okay. For whatever reason, I thought that The Crown came out after this movie. So it would not have been like a real true Easter egg, just a funny coincidence.
A prophecy.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like that is an Easter egg, that they were kind of...
Okay.
Of course he does. He played him, you know?
He played him, yeah. Not as good as the Winston Churchill in Pearl Harbor. That one was pretty spot on, but... I think that was... What's his face?
I'm not up to date on my actors who played Winston Churchill trivia, so...
He just always plays a little, like, rat... Like, little mousy guy.
Like Winston Churchill.
Yeah, you know. Timothy Spall, I believe.
Wait, now isn't that Peter Pettigrew?
Yeah. I'm telling you, he always plays a little ratty guy.
Yeah, like literally.
Literally. Let me just... Gary Oldman has also played Winston Churchill.
Interesting.
Okay, wait. I have to figure this out now. Who played Winston Churchill in Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor, IMDb.
Is Winston... is he not even... Who am I thinking of?
I have no fucking clue.
Because there's a meeting between Churchill and Stalin.
Oh, no, it is him.
Thank you. Why isn't he credited anywhere?
Do you want to know why?
Why? Because he doesn't play with
it. It's archive footage. It's just Winston Churchill.
No, it's not. No, it's fucking not. No way. No. Winston Churchill is a caricature.
Churchill, self, archive footage uncredited.
Wait, no. No.
That's so funny. Come back to 3 seconds ago when you were like, not as good as the guy who played it.
So fucking funny, though. That's...
I'm crying.
That's actually... Oh. Oh, wait, wait. No, I'm stupid. Wait. It's my other favorite historical drama movie, The King's Speech. He plays Winston Churchill in The King's Speech. I knew he played Winston Churchill.
I can't breathe.
Oh, fuck.
That's so fucking funny.
Anyway, okay, yeah. So what I meant to say was The King's mm-hmm. Speech. He yeah. plays Winston Churchill.
For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how to move on from that.
Should we just write them?
No, because I didn't get to talk about any of my cat facts.
Yeah, we
gotta
talk about the cats.
I have to talk about the cats and then we can write.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. One of the main animal trainers was named Melissa Millette, and she revealed that there was a total of 5 cats for this one, so 4 less if you're keeping score. But mm-hmm. I think we had progressed in the cat training because they seemed like they were miles ahead, streets ahead of the ones in the original.
Mm-hmm.
All 5 cats were rescues, and they were all basically like interchangeably Church, although it was 2 that kind of were the main stars. One was named Tonic, who did most of the alive Church bits, and then Leo was the primary dead Church. So they were cute. The 2 stars. However, there was also Jaeger, who was more of an action cat, and JD was very good at like being very quiet and doing the stares. So there were a lot. After filming wrapped, all 5 cats were adopted. So that's great news. They all got little homes. Yeah, I think Millette and then another one of the trainers on set both adopted one, and then Millette was able to find homes for the other 3 as well. But I think Millette took Tonic and the other trainer took Leo. And then they both created little Instagram accounts for them. And yeah, so you could like keep up with them. Unfortunately, Leo did pass away, but he lived a very long, long, good life. And he had a nice forever home in the end. But yeah, they all had like their own trailers and they got fed little snacks. And it seems fun. Like they were treated incredibly well during the production of this film. So that's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, good. Yeah, I found it interesting all of the things that they like combined to create the dead look of the cats.
Mm-hmm.
They used egg whites, chalk, dried grass, dirt. And then corn syrup and organic food coloring to make fake blood.
Mm.
And just sort of like over time got the cats used to having all of these things stuck on them.
Yeah. I know she talked a lot about like them progressively adding more and more as they kind of trained the cats to get used to it. Because they were like, if we just put all this gunk on them, they're going to lick it all off immediately yeah. if they're not used to it. So they had to slowly increase how much they were putting on them to get that look.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then also the scene where Lewis walks down to the basement and the cat like hisses at him and runs up the stairs. Mm-hmm. They did that by training the cat to hiss whenever a certain toy was shown to them. So they basically like had to have him walk by down and then show the toy to the cat so that it would hiss and then run away.
Aw.
Yeah. But they were so good. Fantastic little pet actors.
Yeah. Remember when Universal, you could like meet the actors of, like, there was a show of like all the animal actors and you could meet them and
yes.
stuff?
Yes. The animal actor show and the special effects show are like 2 of my favorite things, and they got rid of them both for a fucking Fast and Furious ride.
Which looks terrible. It looks like I would throw up.
Universal, don't let me catch you outside.
Yeah. Yeah, but they are putting a Pokemon park in the parks, which is fun. I think that's fun.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for Pokemon.
Yeah.
Sticking with the Ramones theme in this one. In the old one, the driver is listening to Sheena is a punk rocker. We know that. In this version, the driver of the truck that strikes Ellie is distracted by a call on his phone, and the caller's name is Sheena.
Yeah. Fun little callback.
Yeah. Literally a callback. Get it? Phone call. Callback. Nice.
Yeah. I like that.
Wow. Okay, let's rate him.
You're like, that is enough of that. That's enough. We're rating. Okay, I like it. Yeah, I feel like the cat facts were what I was most excited for in the remake anyway. So
yeah, and there were so many of them. There were so many cat facts.
I know, I love them all.
Mm-hmm. A Norwegian forest cat he was, by the way.
Stunning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start with the original. Rate that. And then we'll rate the remake.
Okay, that is what we agreed on.
That is how we've done it.
How scary did you think it was? The original, the 1989 version of Pet Sematary.
Thank you. Yeah, I gave it a 0.5.
Okay.
I don't think it's scary. I think it's a little silly goofy, if I'm being honest.
Sure.
I like the dead guy just walking around with the family the whole time. No real reason for that, by the way. By the way, he had no connection to the Pet Sematary whatsoever. Just there. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I gave it a 1 for suspense.
Mm, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I agree.
Yeah.
A lot of this was a silly, goofy, fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And some of that's just a product of the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of course.
How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 0.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was just too much happening here for it to even be a little sexy. So.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you.
Mm, yeah.
I did also give it a 0.5. There's just nothing I can think of that made me think, ooh, you know? Maybe if they had left that dream sequence scene, maybe if they had left him sweaty and shirtless. I don't know if he was sweaty in the original, but...
Probably.
Why wouldn't he be, you know?
Yeah. How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.
Oh.
Mainly just because Gage getting hit by the truck is sad. When his shoe just like falls on the road, it's sad. And the Achilles was like a little.
Yeah.
For the 80s. Oh, calm down. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Yeah. What about you?
I gave it a 2.5 for the same reasons. For the child eating someone.
Oh, yeah. I think that was like too funny for me.
It was pretty silly.
But in pure concept, yes. Yeah.
Concept alone. Execution, a little goofy.
A little, but, yeah. The noise he was making while he was getting eaten was kind of funny, too.
Yes, yes. A little campy, but fun.
Yeah. All right, well, overall, what did you think of the original Pet Sematary?
So I thought it was a fun story, a sort of unique take on zombies. I am excited to read it now. If a little predictable, you know, you definitely see it coming. I like that it was signed off on by the author, despite him being kind of a twat. I think that while it's a product of its time, in some ways it still holds up in a lot of other ways. And it's somehow still a really fun watch despite some really heavy concepts. It's just like a silly, goofy time. So I gave it a 3.5.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, it was just fun and goofy and, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I give it a 3. It's not too far off.
Yeah.
I think, there's some things that I think are just, like, fun and campy about this because of the way it's aged and the time period that it was made in.
Yeah.
So I think it's still worth a watch. I do think... I do think... I wish that there was more characters, not study, because that's not really what it's trying to do, but I feel like I don't believe the dad's actions, because we never really see him grieving that much. Like, all of a sudden he's just like crazy by the end, and it's like, well, we didn't really sit with that child grief. Like, there's a lot of setup here, and then like not, it just all happens very quickly. And so I feel like it doesn't really connect on like that emotional level that is layered into it. It's just not explored enough.
Sure.
So I think if they had touched on that a little bit more, it would have been higher for me, but.
Sure. Two of my complaints I didn't really touch on. One, they had to cut out a lot from the movie, and you can absolutely tell, like, some of the, like, splits are just, like, weird. Like, it goes from one scene to another, and it's just like, oh, that was a little jarring.
Mm-hmm.
So, to your point. And then the storyline with the sister just felt very off to me.
Yeah, like, there's
unnecessary.
And I think that's why I would be curious to read the book, because there were a lot of parts of it where I'm like, is that explored more in the book? Like, I want to know more about her sister's story and how that relates now to what's happening to Gage. I want to know more about this student who is, like, their guardian angel. Like, what is his connection to this, if any? Like, I feel like there were just some things that they just never really touched on. They were just like, yeah, this is just happening, and you just accept it. And fine, sure, yeah, sometimes that happens. But, like, I would like a little more.
Yeah. So anyway, it's on the TBR.
Yeah. All right. Remake.
Mm-hmm.
Should we switch it up?
We usually do.
How scary did you think it was?
Thank you. I also gave this one a one.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing that this one did better or more scary, but there were still some like suspenseful like jumpies. So I just gave it a one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave it a one as well. Just because I feel like this one definitely relied on jump scares more than the original did.
Yeah.
Why are there like 8 jump scares from trucks? That's crazy. We got to tone that back a little bit.
Yeah.
So the city needs to put in some speed bumps. What are we
seriously
doing?
Yeah, they didn't learn from 1989.
So true.
How sexy did you think it was?
I give it a 0.5 as well. Again, nothing about the themes changed for me. It still felt very unsexy.
Yeah.
What about you?
I gave it a 1 just because I got to listen to Lord Farquaad's voice a little bit.
And that does it for you?
Yeah, I was just like Shrek adjacent, you know?
Got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything that reminds you of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. How fucked up did you think it was?
This one was less fucked up, I think mostly because I was expecting the major plot points, but I still gave it a 2 because of the like fake outs and the ending being what it was like in comparison to the original. But also, we didn't really talk about, I know how it ends now, but I did not see that.
Yeah, that's so interesting to me. Because for reference, you stopped after he gets stabbed. He then wakes up because he got taken to the cemetery. And then, like, the whole family comes for Gage.
Yeah, and it's left open to interpretation whether or not Gage is, like, actually a victim. But, like, pretty clearly he is, right? Like,
I think it's that he's going to be.
Yeah.
Because now all three, the mom, camera, the dad, and Ellie are all turned.
Yeah.
And basically it's like they walk up to the car because he's still in the car because they were going to leave.
Yeah.
They were fleeing. And then you just hear them like click the button to unlock the doors. And that's where it ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't see that.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Where did I watch this? It was legal.
Tubi?
Maybe. Is that where you watched it?
Pluto. I think it was Pluto. It's one of the like free with ads sites.
Yeah. Is that where you watched it?
Yeah.
Well, shoot. I'll just have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway, did you tell me how fucked up you thought it was?
No. Do you want to ask me?
Yeah. Well, sure. Yep. How fucked up did you think it was?
I give it a 1, same as the first.
Okay.
But that's only because I gave it a bump because I did not like the sounds that were happening when he was brushing her hair. When she's like,
yeah,
free, like just comes back from the dead and they're in the tub and he's just like ripping through. Oh, that made me cringe. I don't like that sound.
Yeah.
So that was it. He just got half a point for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Overall, what did you think of the remake of Pet Sematary?
Yeah. So again, my first recollection of this movie was just being very drunk and being like, this is so bad. Like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it wasn't as bad as I was remembering it in that drunken state. But it still wasn't really good. And I don't think it did enough to warrant the sequel. I did kind of like that they chose Ellie instead. But that alone, I don't know. So I kind of struggled. I ended up giving it a 2 because they relied too much on jump scares. I don't think they like did enough with the story or changed enough for it to be interesting enough for it to warrant a remake.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of the performances weren't my favorite. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a 2. What about you?
Okay. Yeah, I think this one was still fun to watch because of the little twists. But outside of those, it felt very pointless. Like, why did they do it? It felt like, oh, we're about to lose the ability to make this, so let's just do it real quick.
Yeah, very like, here, damn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think this one was not as well like acted and authentic as the first one sort of felt. But John Lithgow's in it, which is a weird choice.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of like poetic to wax about this one. Mm-hmm. So I'll just cut to the chase. I gave it a 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
So we were consistent.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a valid, fair and just rating.
Thank you. Yeah. Right down the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the real question is, would we survive?
Wow.
I don't think I've ever asked that.
I don't think you have either. You always forget that it's happening.
Yeah, no, I know it's happening.
Great. Do I get to answer first this time?
Sure.
Okay, so I said, yes, I'm living. And here's why. There's just too many steps that I would have to follow that I would not follow to get to the point that these folks are at.
Yeah.
I don't have a pet. Even if I did, it's not going to be an outdoor cat. That's crazy. Second of all, if it does end up dying, I'm not burying it at a native burial site. That feels disrespectful to me. I'm not doing that. And then also, even if that all happened and it's out of my control, I'm not letting a toddler out of my sight to run into a highway. I'm not trying to blame parents. I am saying I once held a child and I wouldn't even put it in the grass because I was scared it might have an allergy. So I am not the type of person that's going to let that toddler get outside of an arm's reach of me because I know toddlers and I know that they'll see a highway and be like, I'm running right into that. So that's not happening. Then somehow, even if my child does die and I know the consequences of putting it in that cemetery, I understand grief's a crazy thing. I can't imagine you never understand how you would react if your child dies until it happens. It's a horrific thing I wouldn't wish on anybody. However, still don't see myself being like, let's bring it back. That sounds like a terrible idea. I'm not doing that. So, even if all of that happens, which it is not going to happen because I'm saying no every step of the way. Me via toddler? I'm winning that 1v1 every time. Dying to a toddler that's embarrassing. So, couldn't be me at any point in time during this film. And I'm surviving. What about you?
So fair. So fair. My thought process is not as thoughtful or thorough. I have just always buried my pets in my backyard, and that's important to me. So,
well, this was their backyard.
But I mean, like within arm's reach of my house.
Oh, okay. Right on the foundation.
Yeah. So I'm not listening to Judd. I'm burying my pets where I want to, not in some random ass lot, especially one that has a fucking crop circle on it. So I'm surviving.
I love it. Go us.
Yeah, we did it. We did it. Finally, we survived one together.
We literally did like two episodes ago.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. I just, as I was watching this movie, I was thinking about it. And every time they made a decision, I thought, that's not the decision I would make. Yeah. So,
I'm good. Surely that decision making is more thoughtful in the book. It's gotta be.
Mm. Maybe. We'll let you know once we read it.
Yeah. It's on our list.
Mm-hmm. All right. Would you like to predict next week's film?
As long as you didn't fucking change it.
I didn't. Oh, you're good. Welcome.
Thank so, you. Villains?
Next week we are talking about villains.
Oh, do I go now?
Sure. You know what? Whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
No rush, babe.
Thank you. Okay, well, villains is a classic tale of you think this is the good guy, but it's actually the bad guy.
Mm, yep.
And the good guy, let's call him Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Is a worker at a memory care facility.
Ooh.
And all of a sudden the residents start dying back to back in their sleep from poisoning. And then they come back as ghosts to haunt Greg. So he's like, we gotta like solve this to get them, like they have unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to solve this. So he leads the charge of all the other employees at the facility to help find the person who's doing this to them.
Yeah.
We'll come to find out that one of the other employees has been drugging Greg and making him commit all the murders in her stead.
Oh my God.
So she's the real villain, but Greg comes to believe that he's the villain. So there's villains. And then Greg kills himself.
Oh. Does she get away with it?
She gets away with it.
Villains. Too villainous.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
And Greg is played by Bill Skarsgård. I knew that much about
Okay. I was like, did you look up the cast list? Because he is in this movie.
I did know that much.
Bill Skarsgård is in this movie, as well as Micah Monroe and Kira Sedgwick.
Oh my God.
Star-studded.
Yeah.
But no, everything else, not right. You did say one small thing that, like, kind of, but I'm not going to tell you what, because I think this is a good movie to kind of go in blind in. And maybe okay. When you see it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's what I that's what I
predicted correctly.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But yeah. It's a fun one, kind of underrated. I don't think a lot of people saw it.
Sad.
But
for them.
Maybe. We'll find out. Maybe it's Bill's first clunker. We'll never know until we watch it. I'm just kidding. I know. I've seen it. But I'm excited.
Good. Me too.
Cool.
Bill Skarsgård has not let me down.
How could he?
I don't know.
Ask anybody who saw the Crow remake. Anyways.
Was that bad?
That actually That's what I've heard. Bad.
I remember that people did not like that.
Yeah, it was. I've heard
that,
it's
Is
very,
that a
very
him
bad.
Fault? Is that a Bill Skarsgård
it's
fault?
It's never Bill's fault.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, cool. Well, I'm glad we didn't love Pet Sematary, but we liked it okay. It was fine
It was
enough.
Fine.
Yeah.
It was good. Fine.
Always good to get another King movie under our belt.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys for listening. Feel free to like and subscribe.
Don't forget to check out those links in the description.
Please, yes. Our support goes out to everybody dealing with the winter storms as well, because we know that's impacting a lot of people.
Yeah. Hopefully that's over by the time this comes out.
Yeah, I hope so. If not, stay safe, stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
And put in the comments. Oh, what did we tell them? We said something.
Who is your favorite actor that's portrayed Winston Churchill?
Exactly. And why is it him himself in Pearl Harbor?
You're not allowed to use that one.
And also any other music video besides a Madonna one, because that's all we know.
Yeah, all we know is the two Madonna music videos.
Yeah, that's it. And Tuba Stank's the reason.
And if you've seen that other...
That's true. If you've seen a music video with a black background.
If you've seen a music video that I can't find, yeah.
And snakes going in and out of a mouth, you let us know in the comments what that is.
Yeah, I don't even think you can see your eyes. I think it's literally just like nose down and the snake is going in and out her ears and nose and mouth.
Interesting. All right, cool. Well, that's everything. That's it. We'll see you next week for villains. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.